Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, it's like the Bergeron today. He's throwing out the first two, three, four faceoffs he takes because someone mentioned, you know, have a little respect for Patrice Bergeron. He's up for the Selke. He's been a warrior in this league, a face of the franchise, does everything right for hockey, sells the game. And that's the way you treat him. I mean, come on. You know, because someone speaks out and says something like, you know, all of a sudden. So they just need to be better than that. Just, you know, just call the game what you see. Quit listening to these outside influences and get it done right. Because I don't think they were great tonight. I'm not going to lie to you. But they have been, and they're good officials. I know those two guys. They're good guys and good officials. And I don't know tonight. I just thought they were off.
Meanwhile, Cassidy's still going. This from last night. Part of the comments that cost him $25,000. Felger and Mast here today on a Tuesday from our Tomford Tire Studios in Dorchester. We're joined by Adam Jones in the update studio. Are you here for the rest of the week?
Yeah, till Friday. Assuming I make it. Assuming you don't come in here and strangle me, yes.
Oh, great. So, can't call him D-head. How about the P-face comment?
I was fine with that.
Okay, Peckerface back there behind the glass.
Yeah, that's P-face just doesn't sound right.
Okay, well, you know what I mean. Anyway.
I mean, Brewski on Get Up this morning called somebody a prick, so I guess that's all common.
I've always thought prick should be okay, but either way, Jones, how'd you feel about the Patrice Bergeron defense last
night? Well, I know you guys don't like your social media internet references, but it reminded me of an old video. Leave Bergy alone! Leave him alone! Leave Bergy alone! I would like Bergeron to kill off a penalty. How's that sound? I thought he's the greatest defensive forward of all time. 10 Selkies in a row. None totally on reputation. That would never happen. All earned. 10 Selkies in a row. He's won 4. Could he kill off a penalty? Could your team kill off a penalty last night? So instead of crying about whatever Trotz was saying before the game in game 5 and then taking kind of indirect shots at Barry Trotz saying you shouldn't let outside influences impact the series. Meanwhile, he's trying to be an outside influence impacting the series. It's inconsistent and it's babyish and it's unbecoming. So the Bergeron thing I thought was extra annoying.
What? Why is any sort of jab or criticism of Bergeron not allowed?
I would allow it. No sacred cows.
What's wrong with that? I mean, and I'm not telling you, again, he's playing the game, but what's wrong with saying Bergeron knows how to cheat the system on the power plays?
Nothing.
I mean, on the faceoffs.
Hey.
Not like we've never heard that before.
Hey.
Hey, what?
He's been nominated for the Selke 10 years in a row. How dare you?
No sacred cows. Trotz is doing a good job on that. He got what he wanted on that. So, and I don't blame Cassie for defending Bergeron. Like, you know, least of all, like he should defend his player. So that's...
No, good delay of game last night by Bergeron. I thought that was a good one.
So, yeah, that was clear. But was it just me or did Pelech send it over the boards just before that? And they didn't call it.
It was like a minute before. Beersy was all over this last night on radio. But what he said, and I never saw an angle. Now, if somebody saw the angle, let me know.
Deflected. That's what they were saying, right?
It didn't deflect off Bergeron, though.
It didn't.
But it might have deflected off the boards. That's what Beersy was saying. And I couldn't see an angle where maybe it hit the boards.
Yeah, they never showed a replay where it showed it, the puck hitting the boards.
I clearly thought Pelech sent it out, but I did not see it hit the boards or not. So, I mean, that's just another thing to get your blood boiling. All right, back to your phones, as promised. Kathleen in Salem. Hi, Kathleen.
Yeah, hi. So I was at the game last night. I was in that corner of the ice. It was the puck was hit over the glass. It should have been a penalty on the Islanders. So I agree. Rask was horrible. Every time he touched the puck, he was insecure. He was giving it away. So that part was scary. But I'm in sort of the boo-hoo camp because the referees were so inconsistent last night. The Bruins were getting penalized for things that the Islanders were also doing and not getting called for. So it was just a very frustrating night to be a Bruins
fan. Well, the frustration, I feel you. It's frustrating. It's just not why you lost. And it's a loser's lament to go there today, Kathleen, all due respect. But sure, it is frustrating. Another thing that's frustrating is, you know, that the other team is just craftier about it. So the Grezla cross-check on Komarov, which, again, it was another one that Amonte and everyone else, and I think the Bruins were really upset by. That's sort of a hockey place, pushing him from behind in the crease, away from the crease, and it wasn't really like a blatant cross-check. It was, you know, ish. And it's the kind of play that happens all the time. But Komarov goes down, and he didn't have to. Komarov's a big guy. Grezlik's a little guy. Komarov knew exactly what he was doing. It was right in front of the ref. And so Komarov goes down, and he gets the call. And the Bruins, more often than not, they will flop occasionally, but more often than not, keep their skates. They're not a huge flopping team. They're on the moderate side of that. And, and a perfect example was the game before where David Krejci took three cross checks in the back from Barzal and kept his skates and kept hacking at the puck. Instead of going down and trying to draw the foul, he kept, you know, trying to play the puck. So it's sort of frustrating that you do the quote-unquote right thing. They quote-unquote do the weaselly thing, and they get rewarded for it, and that's frustrating. So, but that doesn't mean that's why you lost. I just don't conflate the two. But I do feel the frustration on that especially.
Yeah, look, again, the Corrali play, absolutely. Like, because I think that one was worse.
Well, Komarov doesn't have to go down, but he's crafty enough to go down and get the call. So should you be crafty? Should you do it? And, you know, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, so you know what will happen next game is they'll do it. Both teams will do it, and they won't pull the whistle.
Exactly.
Or they'll get whistled for an embellishment or something.
So, yeah, exactly. I still come back to the inability to cover the front of your own net and the penalty kill. I come back to that. Those are major, major problems.
Frank in Marshfield, go quickly, please.
Hey, definitely not the referee's fault. You can't let a team go 3-for-3 on the power play. But as far as Cassidy, that's what you want in your coach. You got to stand up for your players. You got to stand up for your team. You got the buzzard in today on a day where everybody's frustrated, so everybody's fired up.
But
he's great. He's the anti-Belichick. It's great.
Okay, Frank. He's good press conference material. Like, I like listening to him. But, I mean, go ahead, Jones.
No, I just, that whole thing, that's just frustrating last night is all. So I understand he's going to bat for his players, but isn't there a line and he went way past it where you're like going to bat for your players versus being like way too over the top in it? Like that's where I felt he went last night. A little defense of your players or a little shot at the refs I think is fine and expected. I think you get away with that. What he did last night was go on and on for 2 minutes about it.
I don't care about that.
Me neither.
I care him losing game 7 at home to the St. Louis Blues. I care about him abouting to lose in the second round to a team that his team's better than. That's what I care about, and I'm going to hold him accountable for. This stuff is just sort of fun to talk about and play, but I don't hold it against him.
Well, so the other thing is, just don't let it spill into you when you talk to your team. That's all. The last thing I want is, yeah, you guys get screwed by the referees. You want to say it to the media, get it out there. You want to have a conversation with the league behind the scenes, whether it's with Neely or Sweeney or whoever else. Fine, do it. When you drop the puck for practice, fellas, we're done talking about the officiating now.
It's going to be hard after how he carried on, that I'll say. But, you know, he's one of the, if he had said nothing, we were saying he's being too meek. We criticized him against the Blues for not getting in there sooner against Berube playing the game. Remember that? Like, Berube worked the officials, Cassidy wouldn't. We sort of held that against him. So he, you know, if they lose, he's going to get killed on either side of it, which is why, again, it's really not on my list. I'm more concerned about how the team is playing in a series they should be winning. Shay in the car. Go ahead, Shay.
So I just wanted to say that three coaches that have been fined, two of them have been complaints about the referee. Matt said that, you know, your reputation precedes you, so that's one thing. And then I just want to say, time to call up Trent Frederick, maybe, and put a big body on these people and start hitting back and showing a little grit.
Okay, well, let me stop you there. Trent Frederick back in the lineup, yes or no?
Richie was good last night. I'd keep going with him. If you maybe someone got through to him and he starts throwing his weight around a little or whatever, but he was good last night.
Well, Lazar's out, So you've got someone to draw back in.
Forgot about Lazar.
DeBrusque or Frederick?
Frederick.
Frederick! Well, Frederick!
If you're trying to avoid penalties, is he the best guy to throw out there?
No, but I'd leave that to the side.
And he's better than DeBrusque.
I'd talk about a spark. I'd talk about, here's a stage where there's got to be a little desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means rookie goalie. That means rookie, I don't know if Frederick's technically a rookie. I think he is. Whatever. Fourth line bleepster. Like, this is where we're at. Going back to Rask, DeBrusque, it's just, no. This is a stage where you got to throw some stuff against the wall. So Frederick's more of a throw stuff against the wall kind of guy. Absolutely Frederick over DeBrusque. No doubt in my mind.
Well, I would say Frederick over DeBrusque, too. I'd pick him.
So, and that's, again, just purely for you. You've got to do things differently. You've got to mix it up. I thought Cassidy actually did a decent job last night early in the game, and I was paying close attention to it because I talked so much about it during the day. He did change the matchups. He did. He got Bergeron away from Peugeot. He got some different line combinations against some different groups in New York, and I thought it worked. It was good. I liked it. And then Trotz kind of countered him by taking Peugeot off. He flipped Peugeot and Nelson, I think, on their two lines trying to chase it, what Cassidy did. But he got that Bergeron line away from Peugeot, Palmieri, and that group. And so, Cassidy, I thought, I liked, it became such a non-factor because of everything else that happened. But I thought Cassidy started to do that. So continue with that. And don't be afraid with the goalie. Most importantly, don't be afraid on that one. Charlie in Fall River. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, Mike. Cassidy, the best thing you said last night was we don't play that way as far as trying to buy calls. I'd rather lose playing the way we do than win flopping all over the ice. Like the Islanders, when they get high stick, they act like they got shot with a 30-06, for Christ's sake. They're grabbing their face, the head whips back. I'm just sick and tired of seeing that. Rash had been pulled after the second goal last night. The one that Palmieri, I think it was the second goal, the one that Palmieri scored, the one that bounced around Clifton's skates.
Yeah.
Rask never moved side to side. He just watched the puck go by him and reached back with his stick. Never moved.
Okay, there were a couple of those. That I don't blame. I can't blame him for the Palmieri goal. I'm not doing that. But how did he look? How did he move? And I think that was sort of the case for me last night, where I'm definitely not blaming him for the loss. But how did he move and how did he look? Did he give himself the best chance? Even on that tic-tac goal, was it Bailey then who was?
Yeah.
Even there, sort of look, he goes kind of for the poke check and leaves the net. He didn't get big on that play. And then the one, we're showing the still shot on NBC Sports Boston. That's the Eberle goal. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at how he's playing that.
I didn't think he looked good on any of them. Even the Barzal goal, as much as McAvoy, Tuukka did the same sort of motion or reaction that he did on the Eberle goal.
So it's like
a similar sort of thing.
Well, this was even worse. There it looks like he's actually ducking out of the way. And that was not a one-timer. Eberle collected the puck. Rask had time to move side to side, get big, and at least challenge a shooter a little bit. And he stayed on his line and sort of ducked. So it's like, that's how he, I felt that's how he looked all night. It's like, you're going to go back to that? Again, why are you so reluctant on the goalie? Back with more right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Bell Gallagher and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruce Cassidy seemed to be very upset tonight post-game with the officiating. I think he referred to your team as the New York Saints. I'm not really sure how what context that was in, but did you feel the efficiency?
You'll have to ask him about that. I know that just look at where we ended up during the year. I think we were one of the least penalized teams in the whole league. So I don't know what he means by that. You'll have to ask him.
It's Barry Trotz's response. But that is Cassidy's point. The Islanders have built up this reputation of playing clean. And maybe Lou Lamoriello and Trotz, given the reputations across the league and in the league office, help exacerbate that. And so they get the benefit of the doubt because of the perception of how they play.
I mean, Lamoriello is a longtime power broker in that league.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's totally within reason to make that suggestion. He's an absolute power broker in that league, and he's political, and he is the kind of guy that would work it behind the scenes. No two ways about it. Again, what Cassidy's saying may be right. I still don't know how that addresses the fact that the Bruins had a lot of penalties this year. Have it bad. Who's responsible for that one?
Thank you. Yes, we continue with your thoughts. Here's Sam and Mills. Millis, go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, hi. I was just wanted to discuss Barzal. I'm sort of getting sick and tired of hearing how special he is as a player. I mean, if you look at his track record, he's only scored 20 goals in a season once. He's been in the league for, I believe it's 4 years. He embellishes. He's been fined twice for that this season. He's been benched by Trotz.
So hold on. You don't like Matthew Barzal as a player? You wouldn't want him?
No, because I mean, I heard you guys too earlier in the year discussing hypothetically about trading Pastrnak, and I'd say I would take Pastrnak over Barzal in a heartbeat.
That's really not the equation there. Would you take Jake DeBrusk over Matthew Barzal?
Right. Nope.
Would you take Jake Zaboral or whatever? Jacob Zaboral?
Senishin.
Nope. Or Zach Senishin? Who are you, freaking nuts? You wouldn't take Barzal on your team? Because Trotz sat him for a time this year? Or he's been fined for embellishment? What are you, freaking nuts? What's the matter with you? That guy can play.
Yeah, I'd take Beauvillier over all three of those guys.
And
he was taken 28th in that draft.
Exactly. That's another guy that you passed on three times. Three times. And this has come home to roost, pretty badly for Don Sweeney as it stands right now. Here's Chris in the van. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm not really frustrated by the calls as much as I'm frustrated by being a Bruins fan. I'm just tired of falling for the Lucy with the football every time. It just gets tiring. Just kill a penalty. Just kill a couple penalties. Come on.
It's so true. They are such a frustrating team. I mean, you were all over them in the first period. How was that start?
Tremendous.
Out of a cannon.
Yeah, tremendous.
And you were just all over them.
That's every game, by the way. Every game, the Bruins are spotted a one-goal lead. Varlamov gives up a goal outside of game four. I think he gives up a goal in the first three shots, like the first 5 minutes of the game, every single game. And you still blow all these leads. You still lose all these games.
And it's not just 1-0, though. It was just the way you came out. I mean, it's just impeccable. And you can't go more than 1-0, and you're 1-1 after one. Oh, that's so Bruins. That's so freaking Bruins. That's just the experience. Oh, but the whole night, again, 5-on-5, they outshot them 35-15, 5-on-5. In terms of attempts, not on net, but just attempts, 64-30. Outscored them 3-2, 5-on-5. It feels like they've been a one-line team. It feels like the last couple of games here, it's just, the Bergeron line. But lines 1-3 outshot the Islanders by a combined 28-8, 5-on-5 last night. So including the Krejci line, including the Coyle line, 28-8, 5-on-5, and outscored them 3-0. 5-on-5, the top three lines. And you lose. And you're down 5-2 at one point. I mean, think of that. Does that only happen to you? Danny in Dartmouth. Go ahead, Danny.
Danny? How are we doing? Danny here. Yep, I'm here. So, fellas, hey, first of all, I appreciate what you do. Personally, I'm not as down the dumps this afternoon. In fact, my cereal actually tasted great this morning. Look, last night was a fluke. I'm not saying the D isn't a problem, but I mean, the Isles could have pitched a tent in front of the net last night. But at the same time, the Bs could have opened up a freaking coffee shop in the offensive zone. I mean, we got offense. We have 40 shots in 4 to 5 games this season. We let the Isles start 3 for 3 on the power play on some might-level calls, and it still comes down to the final minutes. I think the D gains a little bit of confidence in who's behind them with the sway man between the pipes, given Varlamov the shivers. They put an extra stick in the lane or two. We use a little more of our craniums and stay out of the box, giving us game 6, and we take that momentum right back into an absolutely bonkers crowd in front of the Garden.
Okay, Danny. He thinks they're still alive, and there's the path. Do you agree with him, Mess?
Well, look, again, alive. Yeah, sure, they're alive. Do I like their chances of being able to flip this thing? No. And I'm sorry, I do put a premium on their inability to police the front of their own net. You can spend as much time in the offensive zone as you want. Just don't get near the goalie. You know, stay on the perimeter. Fine, Tuchel will stop those all night long, and so will their guy. Go and look at the 5 goals. Go look them up. Just watch the highlights of the Islanders' goals. Tell me where they all came from and look to see how many Bruins are close or how many fell asleep and couldn't play a puck.
Well, and arguably the biggest goal last night was 5-on-5, right? The Bailey goal was 5-on-5. And that's after Marchand scored his, like, ridiculous individual effort dangling through the defense. You're back in the game. And then next thing you know, 5-on-5 goal. And that wasn't the refs.
And the game winner was 5-on-5. The 5th goal was 5-on-5, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it was. Yeah, yeah. The one on Swayman was 5-on-5.
The
yeah.
Islanders have no trepidation about going in there. None. Zero. They get plenty of space, and they're certainly not worried about getting their clocks cleaned because nobody's doing it. Not that you can anymore, but even leaning on guys, there's none of it.
So I don't like your chances for that very reason. You don't have the D. Dan in the car. Go ahead, Dan.
Felger, you just hit on something that's really starting to bother me and concern me. It feels like we're going back in time. You know, we had more shots on them and chance-wise and all that, but the quality of the shots, not there. And the Krejci line, as great as he's been, you know, as great as they've been ever since they acquired Hall, yeah, he's been on it. But Krejci's line is starting to back off in terms of quality. The Coyle line, again, they're getting shots, but they're not quality shots. And there's just no way that they're going to get past this guy if they don't start paying attention to what they're shooting at and we stop relying on that Bergeron line. It's just getting to be it's like we're repeating last year all over again.
Well, the scoring is getting top-heavy, but I just disagree that there weren't quality shots. I mean, Hall had a one-timer in the second period from the right face-off circle that was dead to rights, and he drilled it. And Varlamov, post-to-post, strong save. And, you know, maybe you get on Hall. You got to finish that. I mean, you don't have to one time it. Maybe you had a little time there to pick a corner like they were. I don't know. But that was a real quality opportunity. Charlie Coyle coming in after a rebound all alone and on Varlamov. Had the top of the net. Put it off his shoulder. Missed an opportunity. McAvoy had a couple of those. So I think they had quality opportunities. I think they gagged on it. That's what I think. I think they gagged on it offensively. And they scored when they were behind, and so maybe they're holding the stick a little looser. But when they needed it, no, they didn't have it.
I haven't loved Hall's game in this series either, though. I'm not telling you he sucked, because he's been okay. But he hasn't been the factor that he was earlier on.
Definitely. No, it's starting to build. You know, I thought in game 3, again, we just relied on that incredible stat of 15 shots against nothing when Hall was on the ice. But then he disappeared in game 4 along with everybody else. And game 5 last night, I did not feel he was, you know, he didn't even show himself like he's usually, even when he's not scoring, he's dangerous with his zone entries, right? He's dangerous through the neutral zone and he's getting the defense to lay back with his speed. I haven't felt him do that in the last couple of games.
See, and I don't think Hall's been bad either, and he hasn't been bad. But the guy that the Bruins wanted for 2 straight deadlines is on the other side now in Palmieri, and he's killing you. And, you know, maybe you wonder and maybe you revisit at the deadline. It would have cost you more to get Palmieri. They're both UFAs, but, you know, Palmieri's the guy who's got the finish. He's the one who's scoring goals.
So you'd rather have Palmieri than Taylor Hall?
I mean, I think the way the series is going, yeah.
I wouldn't.
No?
I will say this, Palmieri.
No, I mean, Hall's got a higher ceiling. He's a star.
Okay, is he going to reach it? I mean, he's had a higher ceiling his whole career. Is he going to reach it? Why did Bruins fans lust after Palmieri? Maybe he's got a better chance of reaching it when the games get tougher.
I think Palmieri's like more their kind of guy. Three zone player, yeah. Responsible player. And he's the kind of guy that if Jones, I know exactly what you would do. If they traded for Palmieri over Hall, you'd blast him for, you know, taking a grinder and a Bruin kind of player versus a superstar. Anyone. You'd blast for anything. Exactly.
I blasted him trading for Hall. So, you know, I would look at it and say, I mean, they're the ones who wanted him, Mike. Not me. I don't pretend to pick out Palmieri. They're the ones who wanted him, and they let another team pay more, and now that guy's more productive.
I'd rather have Hall.
I just like to see a little less flash and a little more grit. And when I say a little more grit, Hall's not weak. He's not soft. So why does he try to avoid everybody who go around him all the time? How about fighting for the puck or fighting for space instead of trying to just loop around people all the time?
Yeah, that's a big concern. He's never had to do it. He's never done it.
How about putting it in the net? That's what Palmieri's doing.
So, right, if you don't, but it's like, am I, what, was that a great offensive play that he scored on last night?
No, not his goal last night, but there. He's got four in the series.
Okay, but last night he was just standing there.
Correct.
Last night. Like, what did he do?
I don't think he did anything last night, but he's got as many goals as Marchand this postseason. So they could use another guy like that.
He's a good player. I like him. I'd rather have Hall. Am I keep saying that over and over again?
No, I'm just letting you know. I'd like a guy who can put it in the net.
What can I call him, Jimmy? Can I come up with a list of names? D-head didn't work. Peckerface was okay.
Spoon.
I need to come up with a few more.
Spoon.
Yeah, here's Adam Jones. He'll be here all week. Just the
tree
facts.
Penis.
Just the facts here on the news.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we'll get back to your phones here in a second. We got to take a couple Bruins breathers today, just for our peace of mind, and bitch about something else. So let's bitch about the Patriots, shall we? And of course, we have the Dark Knight here today, Adam Jones. So he's brought it to our attention. Actually, I did notice this last week. Was going to leave it to the side, but what the hell? Jones is bothered by it. Doesn't take much for us to get bothered by it, too. But what is it, Jones? What did you read from Patriots camp last weekend that had you agitated?
Apparently we get to hear from the entire coaching staff, which is like half filled by Bill's children. So we got to hear from not Steve Belichick, but we also got to hear from now safeties coach Brian Belichick. And he said, I definitely haven't seen any let up when he was asked about his dad. He's as committed to the team as anyone in this organization. And that's why he's such a great leader to follow at the head of it. He has a high, high standard for himself and for everyone else on the team, players, coaches, and children. I added that. But the standard he has for himself is what sets everyone else to try to follow it. He also added that my dad can beat up your dad. So I hear now multiple children from Bill Belichick, not just everybody in the local media and the other coaches complimenting Bill Belichick. We got to hear from both of his kids now talking up how great their dad is. Now we got to do that now. What, once a month? How often do we got to hear from the coaching staff?
Oh, no, I love that, too. In fact, I got my father calling the show this afternoon just to tell everybody how great I am to work with and, you know, how excellent a talk show host I am and how knowledgeable I am about sports. He is. He told me that he tells everybody my passion hasn't waned a bit. Really?
You're just as committed as day one.
No, I'm hoping my sisters actually call in, too. I'd like to hear from them.
Well, the kids are smart. They know his dad likes his ass kissed. They know his dad demands that you say nice things about him publicly because he's super hypersensitive which means he's super hyper insecure. So, hey, Bri, be sure you say something nice about Dad. Otherwise, he's going to be cross with us later. At least they know how to play the game with Bill.
Yeah, no allowance.
It is annoying. I mean, it is just this big suck fest. Is this all we're going to do?
I mean, how can you take any of that seriously and not laugh every time you read it? Like, what? You know when it will really be newsworthy? When one of his kids rips the old man. Then we'll have a story.
Wouldn't it be a little more real?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. This? My father hasn't lost an ounce of energy? How would you know? What, were you in diapers when he started 20 years ago? Were you even wiping your own backside yet? Seriously. How the hell would you know? You weren't around. How do you know what kind of energy you had back then? Like, I'm not picking on the kids.
Yeah, when Dad took me driving and we went out when I had my learner's permit, he was just as dedicated as he is today, yeah.
I mean, I'm really picking on Bill. I'm not picking on the kids. Like, you know, how could they possibly know?
So, to me, it's like, it's a problem here, but it's a problem across the league. The kids, the amount of kids that are on coaching staffs, the amount of kids, oh my God, the front offices and the ownership and the, you know, just go to the masthead of any team. It's all family members. It's just, it's gross. It's gross. But then hearing the ass kissing from the kids makes it even worse. But I'm telling you, it's really more of how Belichick, his sensitivity and insecurities, it's really more a story about that than it is about nepotism. If you ask any Patriots assistant, whether it's a kid or not, he's going to say the same thing because they know. They know what is demanded down there. Kiss the ring. And, like, that's sort of gross, too. No one challenges the guy. And I don't care how many times I hear Bill wants to be challenged. He does not want to be challenged. Just look at who his quarterback is. Look at how his staff talks about him publicly.
You don't think Patricia challenges him?
Make me laugh. It's like, I don't care. And again, I love Mike Holley. All due respect. He's been inside. There's people who've been inside who say otherwise. He wants to be challenged. I don't believe it. They were making it up a day just to give you a public face for it. They were making it up. They were play acting. Any challenge that goes to Bill is play acting for the cameras or a reporter who happens to be there. He does not want to be challenged. Just look at the public commentary from his kids all the way across to his non-kids. It's the way it goes down there. That's what aggravates me as much as anything.
From his kids to the friends of his kids.
Seriously. But even if they're not friends of the kids, it's all demanded. It's demanded from his players. It's demanded. I mean, look at how Cam Newton carries himself. My God, the way he has subjugated himself to Belichick's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. No. Performance reviews now come from your kids. Didn't you know that?
Ay vey. Jones, well, while we have you and while we're just taking this quick Bruins breather, do you have a thought on the quarterback situation from the Newton injury last week?
Yeah, it's a door open for Mac Jones, which is good because I think that Bill needed the door open. I'm not sure Bill was going to give him that job, and he should have that job. Assuming he's even like approaching ready, in the vicinity of ready, Mac Jones should start week one. So I hope he takes this opportunity and runs with it. And if he can't, that's going to make me second guess him too, because this is a wide open opportunity to get in there for the next month at least. And I don't know, catch veterans' eyes, get on the same page with some of the receivers and tight ends and everything like that. Catch the coach's eye. He should not relinquish this. And it shouldn't be that hard to beat out Cam Newton when he's not even on the field.
I mean, if it were any other coach, okay, that we didn't know quite as well, like didn't understand his full history and you draft a quarterback in the first round after having Cam Newton play as badly as he did last year, wouldn't we all be saying the kid should play week one?
Yeah.
He's the best quarterback they have.
Yeah, I mean, given, right, who the starter is.
Yeah. So this is what I mean, though. Yeah. When you weigh it all out, under normal circumstances, we looked at him and said, well, you took him in the first round. He's probably not quite ready, but he's going to get his experience in-game.
No, but the key to me that is Cam Newton.
Yes.
I am someone who likes a year on the bench or two if you've got a reasonable starter, like Kansas City playing Alex Smith that first year. I wouldn't have said you had to play the kid because you had a capable quarterback. But Cam effing Newton?
Yeah, they don't have one, though. They don't have a capable veteran there. And so, again, under normal circumstances, I think you'd look at it and say, again, it might not be the ideal circumstance, but you'd look at it and say, now play the kid. He's better. He's better than Newton is right now. And again, he'll take some lumps. It's part of the deal, but you'll be better off for it in the long run. I also like the idea of seasoning him for a year. I like that. And to me, that's the preferred route. But it's not the only route. I mean, you can have...
Absolutely.
To, yeah. So you know, but because it's Bill and because it's, you know, we're locked, you know, we were conditioned to think this way now, I don't think you're going to see him to start the year.
I think Bill needed extra reason because I think Bill was going to be stubborn about this. He was going to be loyal to Newton and all of this. And there would have to be some extenuating circumstance that would, you know, change this. And I think this is an extenuating circumstance. If Cam Newton can't throw a ball for the next 6 weeks, if he's not going to throw until the beginning of training camp at the end of July, that's significant. There's camps here in the middle of this. There's work here in the middle of this. And so, like, and what's it going to look like? The guy couldn't throw to begin with. Now he's going to be coming in cold after not throwing for 6 weeks or whatever it is. If that's really what the case is, and he's starting from scratch again. Like, that's, I think this is a deal. I think it's a relatively big deal. All right, so there's your little Bruins breather. You can weigh in on that. You want to mix it together, by all means. We'll hear from you on whatever you like in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Mass.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
One more, Jones. Should the Patriots have given up a first-round pick for Julio Jones?
Well, I mean, in retrospect, no, because it only cost a second and a fourth, but I would have. Yeah, I wanted Julio Jones. And it's annoying that the reason they didn't want him isn't because of the draft capital, the compensation. It was because of the contract. Like, that's annoying. When they went out and overspent day one on Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne, like, in retrospect, I'd rather pay Julio than those two. So I'm frustrated that it's the contract that held him back. And then on day one, they decided to splurge on somebody like Nelson Agholor.
I guess I'm so used to it. But, I mean, you understand the nuance there. The Pats are willing to overspend if it's on their terms, mm-hmm. right? So they're free agents. They're starting over with their contract. This is what we deem for you. And yes, it's a lot of money and more than they would normally spend, but we're in control of it. We're making the decision to do it, to give you this. Julio Jones comes with a contract that they can't renegotiate. It's $15 million guaranteed. The only thing they could get is Atlanta to pay some of it off. So it's not on their terms. It's a deep psychological dive that I do there, Jones. It's not just the money. It's who's given him the money and who decided to give him the money. We didn't decide to give you that money.
Yeah, it's about control.
If we decide to give you the money, then we might give you some money.
Yeah.
But you're not going to decide what we pay you.
Well, then you're stuck with Agholor and Bourne.
Well, I'm a guy that would rather have two decent receivers versus one great one.
Yeah, I'm not sure you have two decent receivers, but I understand.
You don't like those guys?
I understand the philosophy. I don't like Agholor. Maybe Bourne's better than I give him credit for, but he feels like a depth receiver.
I like, you know, if you have a team of good depth receivers, I like that. I do. Now, you just can't have one of them. Like, if your number one's a depth receiver and you got nothing else behind him, that's not good. But I always prefer a receiving core that's 3-4 deep of good, solid guys versus the top-heavy Julio Jones and then who else?
Yeah, look, you're better off with numbers. I mean, it doesn't do you any good to have one great receiver and no one else to go with it. So I told you, I have a developing take as it pertains to the Patriots offense, but it's in the crock pot.
It's still not ready?
Oh, no, it's going to take a little while.
The crock pot is like an 8-hour thing at most, Mass, the low simmer. Like, well, how long is this going to take?
Well, this is more like ribs. This is more like cooking ribs.
Low and slow, 245, something like that. Like, how long is this going to go?
Well, I'm thinking it's like a smoker, really, more than a cooker.
It's like a pig roast that you bury in the backyard, and like 2 days later, there's the pig.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Bruins to get officially eliminated and to completely clear the radar.
That's not that much longer.
Well, no, that's right. It'd just be a couple of days, really. I think that's all it'll be, Pac-Man.
Okay.
I'm going to hold on to it for the moment.
There, we had to just take a break from the for a second because we're blowing our brains out with them, as usual at this time of year. But we'll get back to it now with you, Cliff in Rhode Island. Go, Cliff.
Hi, I just had two things with the Bruins. First off is, like, why is it they can't get through a whole game with 20 skaters? They seem to always be dropping. But more, you know, just maybe go back 5% towards Claude Julien and have some of that 200-foot, you know, play and defense. I mean, we're getting on the D, but if the D are bad and we're on our 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th D-men, you think that the forward should be coming back and helping as well.
Okay,
I
well, that's
the tilted ice, but they weren't doing it.
I guess, you know, three of the goals were penalty kills. So it's, I mean, that wasn't it. It's not like they were allowing odd man rushes. You know, they got the 1-5-on-5 was a forecheck that you got caught on. So it's not like, in other words, I don't think it's an issue of your forwards not coming back.
No. To me, this is about the D policing the front of the goal. That's what it is. To me, it's about the defenseman policing the front of the net.
And Cassidy's defensive system is fine. It's been proven over years. Give Cassidy Chara in his prime, Dennis Seidenberg, Ferentz, and Boychuk as their top four. I think they're going to be a little bit sterner, you know, stiffer in their own zone. What do you think?
Yeah, to me, that's what the issue is. Again, and it's not like last night was some sort of wild aberration. So we had a caller earlier who said it was a fluke, and I know he was kind of half joking, but it wasn't fluky. They had lapses like this during the year. Periodically, over the last couple of years, they've had lapses like this where they just don't play D in front of the goal.
Okay, Mike and Woburn, what do you got for us today?
Hey, just quickly. I think sports foreskin is FDA approved.
Yes, it is. Foreskin back there behind the glass.
Okay, perfect. All right. Useless piece of flesh who consistently gets between you and a good time. Make t-shirts of that one, Jones.
Okay.
So the problem I have. Oh, by the way, Jones, Bergeron, you wanted him to kill a penalty. He wasn't on the ice for any of the penalties. So,
yeah. Well, he could also not be in the box for one of them, Mike. Did you want to point that out?
So I blame the refs, and I'll tell you why. Because they changed the course of the game with not one but two non-playoff level calls. The stick. You heard your buddy there. Amonte talk about the slash, and you're really going to call Grizzlick, analytic Smurf, pushing Kamarov out of the crease and hit Kamarov falling down. Like, I know the French refs take the cheese a lot on the diving, but it was a tour de force in French Canadian BS last night for one bookending the first and second periods. That kills this game because we've all admitted Varlamov stole that game, correct?
Yes.
Varlamov steals that game, so you can't steal that game unless you get ahead. You can't.
Okay, Mike. I mean, look, I didn't like the calls, but your penalty kill can be a hell of a lot better. You were so soft in your own end, and that includes a goaltender. So your D back to your goalie, soft, 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 and I don't blame the refs. I'm sorry. But I will take sports foreskin. Useless piece of skin that gets in the way of you in a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That's only Mike and Woburn.
I like it.
And that is definitely FCC approved. There's nothing wrong with that. Thumbs up from behind the glass.
Only spent a couple hours coming up with it.
That's fine. However long it takes, I can
just don't abuse it.
Yeah, no. Well, definitely not. Don't abuse the foreskin.
No, yeah, you abuse that, they'll cut it right.
I still prefer the human penis on a tree.
Here's the update from Jones, and we'll reset some of our top Bruins items right after this. No commercials.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.